We're up to Ella Amarav Papa. Amarav Papa, this is, if you're counting up on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph from the bottom of the Amud, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Now, before we get to Rav Papa, let's just review what we said yesterday at the end of Shir. We spoke about two statements of Shmuel that seem at the face of it to contradict each other. On the one hand, Shmuel says that to be matir a chatzer, all you need is one pas. On the other hand, Shmuel instructed Rav Yosef and Rav Chananya Bar Shilo to be matir a chatzer with, and he gave him two options. One is called Rov Dofen, which we'll discuss in just a minute, and the other was Shnei Pasim. So how could Shmuel say that a chatzin iteres bepas echad, and then he himself, when he paskin, he ruled that you have to set up two pasim? So the Gemara reconciled this by saying the following, that if he has a pas that is four tfachim wide, then all he needs is one. If, on the other hand, his pas is just a mashahu, then he needs to set up a pas on both sides of the entrance into the chatzer. Amar Rav Papa, ikashali, if you do want to find a contradiction, which is difficult in the words of Shmuel, hakashali, here's the difficulty. The Amar Le Shmuel Rav Chananya Bar Shilo Atlo Tavid Uvdo Ela O Berov Dofen O Bishnei Pasim. So that there were two alternatives which Shmuel presented to Rav Chananya, and one of them was Rov Dofen, which sounds like you take the size, the width of the opening, and you divide it in two, you know, take that number, whatever it is, and you put it over the number two, and you have to close off most of that area. So if that area, for example, would be, let's say, 8 tefachim, you'd have to have 4 tefachim plus. So the Gemara asks the following question. Lumali, Rov Dofen. Why is Shmuel, in this possibility, requiring Rov Dofen, when Shmuel himself gave you another alternative of Bipas Rachav Arba Tfachim, Sagi, that would be enough. Shmuel doesn't deny that a pas of 4 Tfachim is enough. Why would he go ahead and offer another possibility, which is Rov Dofen? What is this Rov Dofen? As we said before, to close most of that opening into the Chatzer. Ah, the Chitem, but I have a simple answer, Lechora, which Gemara is going to have a problem with. My Rov Dofen, Bidofen Shiva. Let's say the opening, the whole entire width is only 7 Tfachim. In that case, then once you set up a pass that's 4 Tfachim, Havile Rov Dofen. Right? Because if you divide 7 into 2, half of the Shiva Tfachim Rochav, you get 3.5. And once you set up a pass that's 4 tefachim wide, so it's more than that 3.5, Havile Rov Dofen. But let's say, for example, instead of a dofen which is 7 tefachim in width, let's say it's larger than that. Let's say the width of this opening into the chatzer is 8 tefachim v'yoser, it's more than 8 tefachim. So then, what would Shmuel say in that case? Well, if you're going to tell me you need Rov Dofen, then it's going to have to be 4 plus Tvachin. Because if you divide 8 by 2, you get 4, and if you want to go beyond that. So that's where Shmuel gives you the second option of a pas of Arba. So basically, according to Shmuel, you have two options in terms of the pas. What you can do is, you can either set up a pas which is less than 4 tefachim, if the opening is 7 tefachim, because even less than anything more than 3.5 would be enough for Rov Dofen, and an event that your opening is greater than 8 Tfachim, then he's going to allow you to use a pas of 4 Tfachim. So it doesn't matter how wide it is. I mean, again, it can't be 10 Amos, but what I'm saying is it could be very, very wide, and Shmuel wants to guarantee that you'll never have to go beyond 4 Tfachim of a pas, but you could have an option of having less than 4 Tfachim as a pas in a case where your opening is only 7 Tfachim, because then even less than 4 Tfachim would be enough for Rov Dofen. So Rov Dofen becomes a very viable option for Shmuel. That sounds like a pretty good interpretation. No, the Gemara says...
Rabbi, I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't understand. How is it Rov Dofen if the wall is smaller than the opening? I thought it has to be larger than the opening.
Well, no, we're not asking him to, in the opening of the Chatzah, to completely close it. We're asking to put a pas, which sort of symbolically represents as if he closed it. So
okay.
How much of the area that's open does he have to close to get that symbolic representation of closing? And the answer is he has two options. He can have a minimum option, which would be Rov Dofen, which means that if that area is very narrow, let's say it's only 7 Tfachim wide, then he would not even need a pas of 4 Tfachim, because all he needs is a little bit more than 3.5 in order to make it symbolically as if it's closed. And the maximum, Shmuel says, would have to be four tfachim. So it doesn't matter how wide it is, you could always get away with a pas that's four tfachim in width. So he has two options. If it's a very narrow opening, he won't even need a pas of four tfachim. He could get away with a pas that's less than four tfachim, as long as it's rov. If, on the other hand, it's a very wide opening, then Shmuel says the max is going to be four tfachim. Again, this is all of a chitema. The Gemara now is going to reject this. Why does the Gemara reject this? Let's take the case where the opening is 7 tfachim. Lamali. So why does Shmuel say that he's going to set up a pas that's 4 tfachim? Shmuel should have said, bepas shlosha umashu sagi. I'm not sure what he means by shlosha umashahu, but let's read on. Deha Amar Rab Achle the Itamer of Yechiel. If you have an opening of a chatzon, it needs a tikkun ad arbat tfachim. In other words, the only time that you need a tikkun on a chatzer is when the width of that fourth side, right, what we call the entranceway into the chatzer, is at least 4 tfachim wide. In a case where it's less than 4 tfachim wide, according to this tradition of Rav Achli, you don't even need a tikkun at all. So if the dofen achatzer is only 7 tfachim wide, and what are you telling me? That you're going to need a pas of, let's say, 3 tfachim and a mashahu in order to be... Oh, I'm sorry. Now I understand. Sorry. I understand what the significance of 3 and a mashahu is. I got a little confused, because if you have an opening of 7 tfachim, then it's going to have to be 3.5 and a mashahu. Well, what was this 3 tfachim and a mashahu? Oh, the answer is that if he has a pas of 3 tfachim and a mashahu, then the width of the opening is going to be less than 4 tfachim. And that's going to fulfill this requirement, I shouldn't say requirement, this statement of ruling of Rav Achli, that Rav Achli says that if the opening is less than 4 tfachim, you don't need any tikkun at all. So let's go over the Gemara one more time. The Gemara says, "V'chi teimen, if you'll say my barov dofen, what does Shmuel mean when he says that in certain under certain conditions you would need rov dofen? If you're going to tell me that it's a dofen of shiva tvachim, it's 7 tvachim wide, and divarba Havi Le Rov Dofen, and therefore Shmuel is telling you that you need a pas of four tfachim, which will be Rov Dofen, if that's what Shmuel has in mind. So Shmuel uses the term Rov Dofen, he doesn't use the term Arba, and he wants to tell you that in this case of a dofen of seven, for an opening of seven tfachim, it would be meaningful and valid to set up a pas that's a little bit less than four tfachim, as we said before, 3.5 plus. So the Gemara says, lovely. I have no clue why he requires Rov Dofen, meaning 3.5 plus, if the opening is only 7 Tvachim. He doesn't even need that. All he needs is 3 Tvachim. Why? Because if he has an opening of 7 Tvachim, and he puts up a pas that's 3 Tvachim, and a Mashu, right? Then what he's left with is an opening of 4 Tvachim with a Mashu minus, a minus Mashu. And Rav Achlai has told us that if you have an opening into a chatzer that's less than 4 tfachim, it doesn't need any tikkun at all. So under what circumstances does Shmuel require Rov Dofen? If Rov Dofen means 4 tfachim, in a case where the opening is 7 tfachim, then in fact you would not require a pas of 4 tvachim, all you would require would be a pas of 3 plus mashahu tvachim, because then your opening is less than 4 tvachim. So Ibai, same the Gemara, offers two answers to this question. Kan b'chotzer, kan b'movli. That there's a difference between a chatzer and a mavli. And again, as we always said, you have to be more machmer in the case of a chatzer than you are in the case of a mavli. And we'll see how that expresses itself in just a minute. But first, what's the difference between a chatzer and a mavli? So again, to reiterate what we've said in the past, a chatzer is square, or, alternatively, it's rectangular, but its width is greater than its length. A mavli, on the other hand, its length is greater than its width. Now, the din of Rav Achlai that we had before, that you don't need a tikkun if the Pesach is less than 4 tefachim wide, that only applies to a mavli. But we're always more machmir in the case of a chatzin than we are in the case of a mavli. And even though the opening to this chatzer is less than 4 tfachim, which in the case of mavli would mean it doesn't require any tikkun, but nevertheless in a case of a chatzer, we're going to require a tikkun even if the opening is less than 4 tfachim. So therefore, let's say you have an opening of 7 tfachim, it's not enough to add a pas, that's 3 tfachim and a mashahu, leaving less than 4 tfachim for your Pesach. No, that's not going to be good enough, because we're talking about a chatzer. So when Rav Achlai says that you don't need a tikkun because there's no opening of 4 tfachim, it's less than 4 tfachim, he was referring specifically to a mavui. Ibai Sema, another answer, that the din of Rav Achlai applies even to a chatzer. Derav Achlai Gufe Tanoihi. But the requirement of a pass in the case of a chatzer that has a small opening of less than 4 tfachim is itself subject to a machlokes tanoim. And some tanoim will say that some Tanoim will say there's no difference between a mavli and a chatzer, which means that just like in the case of a chatzer, you always need a tikkun chatzer, even if the opening is less than 4 tfachim. So too in a mavli, you will always need a tikkun on the mavli, a lech yakora, even if the opening is less than 4 tfachim. And other Tanoim will say there's a difference between a chatzer and a mavli, whereas a chatzer requires a tikkun in all cases, a mavli does not require a tikkun if the opening is less than 4 tefach. Tana Rabbanon. Lashon Yama Nichnas Lechatz. You remember we had a case of a cluster of homes opening into a courtyard, and that courtyard borders on the sea. And the sea breaks through the opening of the chatzer, and that's called the lashon. Lashon, you remember we spoke about the fact that the water, you know, creates like a tongue that enters into the opening of the chatzer. And the Gemara is going to say, as we go along, that although it breaks through the opening of the chatzer, it still leaves a certain vestige, if you will, of the dofen, perhaps on both sides, I don't know. In any event, ein memalin heimenu b'shabbos. In such a case that the water breaks through that opening into the chatzer, creating an opening into the chatzer from the yam. Now the yam has the din of a caramelist, as we discussed yesterday. The bias, on the other hand, is Rishus HaYochid. He's not allowed to take water and bring it into his house because he's carrying from a caramelist into a Rishus HaYochid, and that he's not allowed to do. LMK, and the only way he can allow access to the water so that he can bring the water into his house is Asui Lo Mechitza Gavah Asarat Fachim. What he has to do is, in the opening into this chatzer, he's got to create a mechitza that's 10 tfachim high, and in that way, he sort of fences off that opening, closes off that opening of the kosel that was created by the water, by the Lashon Shel Yam. Now, I'm trying to understand exactly what the mechitza, how much of an opening. I see. I think what's happening here is that as a result of this opening, you have an area that's more than 10 amos wide. Do you follow what I mean? The water now enters into the opening of the chatzer, and now the walls of the chatzer are more than 10 amos wide. So therefore you must have a mechitza, and that mechitza is going to guarantee that the opening is less than 10 amos. So in other words, I'm just pointing out that if I understand correctly, we don't have any measurements here of the width of this mechitza. A mechitza has to have 10 tefachim in height. He doesn't specify what the width would be, and that would again depend upon how much of a breach was created by this water, and the guarantee is that he creates this mechitza of 10 tefachim high that's going to have the width that guarantees that the opening, which was created by the water, will be less than 10 amos. B'med varam amurim. When do we say that the pirtza, that this breach that was created by the Lashon Shel Yam is going to generate an isur of taking the water in from the Carmelis into the Rishus HaYochid? That's only kishir pirtzoso b'yoser mi'eser. That the opening, the breach as we called it, it, as a result of the water coming in, is wider than 10 amos. Aval eser amos, if it's up to but not beyond 10 amos, eino tzarech klum. It doesn't need any tikkun, again because on both sides of this pirtza, he has shiurim, he has shirayim of a dofen. Now, I'm not sure what the size of this shirayim is. Okay, so far I don't see a note here to tell me what the size is. I may have skipped something here, I don't know. But anyway, there's some shirayim to the kosel. So there was a kosel that separated the sea from his chatzer, but now the waters breached that kosel. It was a pirtza. And if the pirtzu is less than 10 amos, then as long as there are vestiges to the kosel on both sides, then that's fine. He doesn't need any tikkun. But if there's no vestige at all, then he's going to have to put up a mechitza that's going to close that opening to make sure that it's less than 10 amos, meaning a 10 amos. And we're going to need the additional condition, besides this mechitza, that there are vestiges of the kosel on both sides. Now, this brisa seems to address one issue and only one issue, and that is whether he's allowed to draw the water into his house. So the Gemara is medayik. Mimale hu delo mimalino. In this case, where the water breaks through the fourth wall and there's an opening of more than 10 amos and he hasn't yet put up his mechitza, then he's not allowed to draw the water into his house. Hatil tule mitaltalinon. It would seem that as far as the chatzar is concerned, the chatzar is still mutter. He's not allowed to take the water from the Lashon Shel Yam, because that's a caramelis, into his house. But as far as the chatzar is concerned, you know, if he might have to take off his shoes, I don't know. But anyway, within the chatzar itself, the dry part of the chatzar, he's allowed to carry. Because otherwise, the brisa should have said, not just Ein Mamalin, Hey Menu, it should have made a general statement that the chatzar needs a tikkun. It just seems to say that the chatz itself doesn't need a tikkun, and it still has the status of Rosh Hashayachid, despite the breach of the Lashon Shel Yam. But Ein Mamalim, man, you're not allowed to take the water because the water is a caramelis. So the Gemara asks the fine question: Va nifritza chatz b'malo el yam and makama asula. We have a principle that if the chatzar opens up into a place that's prohibited, like a Rishus HaRabim, then the chatzar becomes asur, and you're not allowed to carry in the chatzar. Here, the chatzar opens up into a karmelis, meaning into the Lashon Shel Yam. That should fit into the classic ruling or framework of a chatzar hanifritza l'makom asula, which is a place where you're not allowed to be metaltil, in this case, into a caramelis. So therefore, it makes sense now that the chatz itself should be also metaltil. Why does the Brisa focus exclusively on drawing the water from the caramelis? And the Gemara answers here on Yud Beis Amid Beis, Hachem Mayaskinon, the Isle Gidude, that since there are still vestiges of the original mechitza, in other words, even though the yam was poretz and is a pirtza, but nevertheless, there still is something left to the kosel. Now he writes, I'm pretty sure this is based on Rashi here, you see the top line, that, and Tosis is going to get a little bit upset about this, that the pirtza leaves a mechitza that's left over of gova asara tfachim. Do you see where Rashi says gova asara, which means asara tfachim? And then Rashi says v'alayom kisahu. So the way I understand it, literally it translates as the water is covered over this mechitza, that's 10 tfachim. If I understand correctly, this is like a landfill, if you know what I mean. What I mean to say is that the water is lower than the ground. The ground is higher than the water. The distance between the ground and the water is 10 tfachim. Now you don't see those 10 tfachim because the water covers that that imaginary mechitza. But if you were to look under the water, what would you find is a mechitza. So if you follow me, the ground is, let's call it horizontal, but it also dips down. because the ground has to hold up the ground. So therefore, he's not allowed to draw the water from the Loshen Hayam into the Chatzer, but he's allowed to be metaltel inside the Chatzer. And why is that? Because Islei Gidudei, that what's left after the Pirtza is a Mechitza Gavoa Asar Tfachim, which is covered by the water. So that's enough to be Matir the Chatzer, even though you're not allowed to take water from the Carmelis. But the Chatzer itself has its own Mechitza. It's covered, but nevertheless, it still is a Mechitza. So you see this Tosis Dira Maskel Hacha that takes up almost the entire page. So I'm just going to try to share with you what I understand about the subject, at least, of what bothers this Tosfos here. He says, I don't get it. How can you distinguish between drawing the water and tiltel inside the chatz? Mimonafshach. If this gidudei, even though it's covered by the water, is considered a mechitza, then we should be mater even drawing the water. Why? Because he says that since the Loshan Hayam, right, this waterway, so to speak, enters into the Mechitzos, then it should be considered not a Carmelis, but a Rosh HaYochid. Because basically that part of the water that enters into the Chatz is now surrounded by four Mechitzos. So again, one Mechitzos you don't see with your eye because the water covers it. If on the other hand you tell me Gidudei that since the water covers it, it's not counts as a mechitza, then you shouldn't be allowed to carry in the chatz itself. So Tosis answers that in fact there's no difference between a drawing water and tiltul. The real difference is between tiltul me'achotzer el habayis, as opposed to tiltul in the chatzer itself, right? We have two issues here. One would be, am I allowed to carry something in the chatzer from one part of the chatzer to the other? And the other is, am I allowed to take from the chatzer something into my house and vice versa? Linyan tiltul b'toch ha-chatzer, mo'el gedudi. If you want to carry within the chatzer, then you're allowed to do so because of gedudi. And why is that? He says, "Vehem nikarim laomdim bechatzer besamuch aleihem." So again, I'm not exactly sure where you're going to stand here, because maybe you have to have high boots, because it seems like, in at least in the diagram I have, it's all covered by water. But let's say somehow he could stand, and he looks down, and he sees that the water is really below, you know, the end of this chatzah by ten tefach. So he says, that's as far as tiltu v'toch ha-chatzah. But as far as tiltu me'achatzah l'bayis, here gidudim is not effective. Why? Because people standing inside the house, they're very far from this mechitza, and therefore it's not nikar. They don't see this mechitza. So when it says in the Brice that he's not allowed to draw water from this Loshen Shalmayim, right, what it means is Osel Amalus Mayim Min HaChotzer, right, Afsha Osir Gam L'Taltu Min HaChotzer L'Bayis. Ah, really when it says that you can't draw water, because you want to draw the water into the house, the truth is you can't carry anything into the house. Forget about the water. But what do you do, you know, with this chatzer? The main function of the chatzer, once it's a Loshen Shalyam, is to draw water. So he mentions the main function. So again, this is a very subtle but profound distinction that Tosis is making, which I don't remember that we ever discussed this before. It sounds like we're encountering something brand new to differentiate between carrying from one part of the chutz to the other as opposed to carrying from the chutz into the bias. And as far as being mat to the chutz is concerned, if you're standing in the chutz, you'll see this mechitza, and that's fine. But if you want to take something from the chutz into the bias, you're looking at it from the perspective of the bias, you don't see that mechitza, and therefore it's not going to be mat here. So the iser of drawing water here is to take the water and bring it into the bias. Tosis offers an alternative interpretation that we're talking about a case of Nifritza HaChotzer Me'erev Shabbos, that although somehow the waters, I guess, pushed over or breached this wall on Erev Shabbos, but Amayim Lo Bo L'Sham Elev Shabbos, the water didn't actually settle down in the Chotzer until Shabbos itself. Why should that make a difference? Nimtza. Shebeknisas HaShabbos, when Shabbos entered, Adayin Hoyu HaMachitzos Nikaros, right, the waters, although they had broken this breach, breached this wall, but they hadn't yet covered it. And therefore you could still see the mechitzos. Veho ilu lahatir tiltul bechotzer umin achotzer lebayis. So in the Rivan, that's the second interpretation, Tosis, there's no difference between carrying within the chotzer or carrying from the chotzer to the bayis or vice versa. All that is mutter. And why is that? Because at the moment that Shabbos entered, you could see the mechitzos. The afal pi, even though achar shekisu amayim, later on during the course of Shabbos, the waters pushed and covered the mechitza, ein atiltul nesar. Why? Because we have a principle called Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. We don't create new isurim over the course of Shabbos. So if at the entrance, at the beginning of Shabbos, it was mutter, it remains mutter. Dahainu shetiltul shehutu b'knisas haShabbos, hutu l'chol haShabbos. Avo l'malos min amayim b'Shabbos. But now he wants to take from the water and bring it into his house on Shabbos. Asur. Why? Shekein hein atzmam nichnesu l'chotzer b'yemtza haShabbos. In other words, these waters were not inside the chotzer on Shabbos. If they would have been inside the chotzer as Shabbos entered, it seems to the Rivan that you'd be allowed to take from these waters because they're surrounded by the mechitzos. I'm not sure about that, but that's very tenuous. But he says that these waters came in on Shabbos, they weren't included in Hol V'Hutra, because at the time that Shabbos entered, these waters were in the Karmelis, they were in the Yam. And it's very nice that they entered into the Chatzar on Shabbos, but that's not enough, because you needed that Heter on Erev Shabbos. So it seems to me, and this is a little bit different, that the Rivan is maintaining that you must have mechitzos nikaros. Here, since the waters only overflowed on Shabbos itself, and at the moment that Shabbos began, you actually had, you could check off the box of mechitzos nikaros. We saw the mechitzos. And that's going to be matir, tiltul, in the chotzer, and from the chotzer into the bais, means the whole chotzer is a reshus hayochid, because even on the fourth side, it's closed off by a mechitza, and we can see that mechitza. No, what happens now? The waters flow in on Shabbos, and now the mechitza is no longer visible. We can apply the principle of hol v'hutra hutra, that since when we started Shabbos, it was mutter. You had a mechitza. But as far as l'malos min amayim, this mayim that overflows was never included under hol v'hutra because it wasn't there in the chotzer when Shabbos began. Honestly, this reminds me a lot of muktzah. You know, a lot of the laws of muktzah depend upon what was the status of the object entering into Shabbos. Now Tosis quotes a third opinion. He calls it the sar mikutzi. Ein chiluk bein milui letiltul. El shamayim mechasim es hamechitzos nesar gama milui v'gama tiltul. At the moment that the waters cover up the mechitza, then you're not allowed to draw the water into the house, and you're not allowed to carry within the chotzer. And that's called, in the language of the Braisa, emimalim heimenu b'Shabbos. Aye, the Gemara says that it's mutar b'tiltul. That's only in the following condition: shamayim yotzu min achotzer b'emtza Shabbos. Right, these are waters that go in and they go out, like, you know, like the waves, you know, on the shore. Right, so they went into the chutz and then they went out of the chutzer, and then the mechitza became exposed. Is oz choseres hachotzer v'niteres bein b'milui u'bein b'tiltul. So I don't get it. According to the Sar Michutzi, it seems like there's never a moment that we differentiate between milui and tiltul. Why? Because as long as the water covers the mechitzos, then it's asur both b'milui and b'tiltul. When is it mutter? When the waters go out of the chotzer in the middle of Shabbos, and now the mechitza becomes exposed. And at that point, everything is mutter. Both milui and tiltul. And I find this very difficult. The Gemara seems to say that there's a difference here between tiltul and milui. And finally, he quotes the Ritzbah, one of the Bali Atosis, who says that Mikra Din, we should be matir even milui, because there is a mechitz of 10 tfachim, even if it's covered. That doesn't bother me. But why did they say you're not allowed to draw the water? Chashishu, they were afraid Shema Yotza Hadli, Yetza Hadli, Chutzu Mechitzas HaChotze. I guess he's saying that he's going to, in order to fill up his bucket, he's going to walk all the way to the end of the chotzer, and he might be tempted to draw the water from the sea itself, and the water in the sea is outside of the mechitzos. That's a karmelis. Is therefore the Chachamim said, we're not going to allow you to draw from any of the water, even the water that's inside the chotzer. However, as far as tiltul b'toch hachotzer, there's no chashash, right? The whole chashash was milui, that if he starts with this kind of milui of the water that's in the chotzer, he might lead him to milui of the water in the sea itself, which is outside of the chotzer. Okay, so that's the end of that sugya. Now the Gemara brings a statement in the name of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to mavui, and the requirement of what we call shituf mivos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, mavui shelo nishtatfu bo, and echshero bilechi is azorek litocho chayov. Oh, wow. This is a profound sugya. What's the status of a mavui on a doraisa level if you put up a lechi? So we said that lechi at the entranceway into the mavui is going to be matir tiltul in the mavui. So what exactly is the status of the mavui? The mavui has three mechitzos plus a lechi. Is a zorek lesocho chayv. A man is standing at Rishus HaRabim and he throws an object that lands in the mavui. And what's the law? Chayev. Chayev means he has to bring a chatas. Means he violated a biblical violation of meleches hachnasa, it's called. Hotzah hachnasa. And it means that the mavui is considered to be completely enclosed with four mechitzas. Now, what do you mean four mechitzas? There are only three mechitzas last time I counted, but the fourth is a lechi. And apparently, through this lechi, he creates a fourth mechitza. Now, we've discussed this issue of what exactly the lechi accomplishes. Is lechi mishum mechitza, lechi mishum heker? He seems to be operating with the assumption lechi mishum mechitza, and now he's got a fourth mechitza, so this mavui is completely enclosed by four mechitzas. Now, he needs shituf muvos. Now, why does he need shituf muvos if we're saying that the status of the Mavui is a Rishus HaYachid, you're allowed to carry in a Rishus HaYachid, and why do you need this extra Eruv, so to speak, the Sheet of Muvos? He says here, Gozru Chachamim Shalol Taltel LeMavui Mishum Shamavui Hu Rishus Mishutefes L'chol B'nei HaChatzeros. So you have many Chatzeros that spill into a common Mavui, V'doma Hu L'Rishus HaRab. And therefore they were afraid that if he'll be metaltel in, you know, let's say from his chutz, he'll take things into the mavui, then it sounds like he's taking something from Rishus HaYachid. That's what it seems like to the mindset of the spectator. He's taking something from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because the mavui is what's called a Rishus HaMishutefes. It's a common area for all the different Bnei HaChatzeros. So it looks like a Rishus HaRabim. He's carrying from a Chatzah, which is clearly Rishus HaYachid's private property, into this public area called a Mavui, which serves many, many different Chatzeros. So they don't want to allow you to to carry from the Chatzah into the Mavui without doing what's called a Shituf Muvos. What is Shituf Muvos? Govim Pas Mikol Chatzer v'chatzer. Pas means some sort of edible food, in this case a loaf of bread, but doesn't have to be. And they collect that from every single individual chatzer. V'nosnin also, they put this loaf of bread, v'achas min ha-chatzeros, v'ayidei zenechshev ki'ilu kol ha-movui, pasuach li'osa chatzer bilvad, u'mutal etaltel bo. So it's as if this Mavui is not open to many different Chatzeros, it's only really open and services that particular Chatzer that's holding on to this loaf of bread. And therefore you're allowed to carry in the Mavui. Okay, so this is all a Chashash, that if we allow you to carry from the Chatzer to the Mavui, it might seem to the spectator that he's carrying from a Rishus HaYachin into Rishus HaRab. Okay, fine. But we're not really focused on that. We're focused on the lechi. Right? He sets up a lechi in the entranceway into the mavui. And Rabbi Yehuda seems to assume that by setting up this lechi, he has now created a fourth mechitza. And the nafkamina is, if somebody standing in Rishus HaRabim and throws an object that lands inside the mavui, he's going to be chayav from a leches hachnosa. However, Hechshero b'korah, if instead of using a lechi for this mavui, he uses a korah, is hazorik l'tocho potur, meaning the korah could not function as a mechitza, and therefore we cannot consider this mavui as a rishus hayachid in the case of korah, because we need four mechitzos. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, again, we shouldn't confuse this with Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, because Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, if I remember correctly, holds that all you need is two mechitzos. This is Rabbi Yehuda Amora, and his opinion is that you need four mechitzos in order to set up a Rishus HaYachid Doraisa. Maskiflo Rav Sheshes raises the following objection to Rabbi Yehuda, Taima Delo Nishtatfu Bo, why did Rabbi Yehuda introduce his point, his ruling, with the introduction of it's a Mavi Shalonish Tatfubo. And that seems to create the status, or this, let's put it the other way. The status of the Mavi as a Rishus HaYachid would depend upon whether or not there was a Shituf Muvos. Mashma Shatam She'im Hechshiro Bekora. That if he uses a korah, then it doesn't become a rishus hayachid. And why? Because there was no shituf muvos. Hanish tatfubo, implying that if there was a shituf muvos, is afilu echshera b'korah nami chayav, then the korah would serve as a fourth mechitza, and somebody who throws into the into this chotzer from Rosh Hashanah would be chayav. So he asks, v'chi kikar oso so Rosh Hashanah yochid or Rosh Hashanah rabin? Okay, what's the sheet of muvot? Right, they each chotzer chipped in a loaf of bread. Right, let's go over that one more time. Govin pas mikol chotzer v'chotzer, and nosdenosova achas minachatzeros. Okay, so therefore what? Because they gave a kikar into one of the chatzeros, is therefore now it became a Rishus HaYochid. You need a fourth mechitza. Where's your fourth mechitza? In the case of Korah, he says it's not a fourth mechitza. Why? Because they didn't do a sheet of muvos. Had they done a sheet of muvos, then all of a sudden the Korah becomes a fourth mechitza, and therefore becomes Rishus HaYochid. So the one who throws into this mavu is chayev for hachnasa. And why? Because they did a sheet of muvos. Because they gave a loaf of bread to one of the chatzeros. That's impossible. That cannot be. The din of Rishus HaYochid or not is not dependent upon sheet of muvos. It depends on mechitzos. So if the korah is not a mechitza, it's not a mechitza. I mean, the loaf of bread is not going to make a dent of a difference. So the final conclusion of this Gemara seems to be that even in a case where there was a sheet of muvos, a korah is not going to function as a fourth mechitza to create a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore if somebody stands in Rishus HaRabim and he throws an object that lands inside the mavui, and this mavui only has a tikkun of a korah, then he is potter. Now the Gemara asks another kasha. And all this, by the way, is to try to disprove this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe we'll have to backtrack and reformulate Rabbi Yehuda. Vasanya, furthermore, we have a braisa. Chatzeros shall rabim. You have chatzeros of many, many homes. So the many homes that open into a common courtyard. Umivos she'eno mifuloshim. And you have a mavui that ends up at the end of the alleyway. There is a mechitza. It's sasim. So it's not a case where it opens to Rishus HaRabim on both sides. Only on one side it opens to Rishus HaRabim. At the end of this mavui, it's sasim. It's absolutely closed. Is bein irvu, bein lo irvu, azorik l'solchan chayav. Now I'm not sure about chatzeros shel rabim, exactly what the point is of chatzeros shel rabim. Let's leave that out for a moment. But let's talk about a mavui. He's talking about a mavui, and he says bein irvu, bein lo irvu. Right now again, we're talking about in the case of chatzeros shel rabim. When you talk about irvu or lo irvu, you're talking about what's called an erev chatzeros. In the case of a mavui, when you say irvu or lo irvu, you're talking about shitufei muvos. And I think in the past we've discussed the differences between the two. We can review that, Amir Tzashem, in a few minutes. But bein lo irvu is hazorik l'tochel chayev. In other words, even a mavui without a sheet of muvos is considered a rishus hayochid, such that a person who throws in and it lands inside the mavui is chayev. And the braisa doesn't differentiate between hechsherim belechi, hechsherim bekorah. None of that seems to be relevant. And in all cases, hazorik l'socho chayo. So this is difficult on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a mavui, if there was no sheet of muvos, and you were machshir with a korah, it's not called a rishus hayachid, and the zorik is potter. So now the Gemara reformulates Rabbi Yehuda. Elo yitmar hachi yitmar. Here's what Rabbi Yehuda had to say. Om Rabbi Yehuda, mavui. Now we're talking about what's called a mavui mefulosh, that it opens up on both ends into a rishus harabim. She'eno roi l'shituf. In other words, there's no way of being metaken this mavui simply by doing a shituf muvos. That's not going to be matir tiltul in a mavi mafulash. Hechshiro b'lechi. Okay, we have to know exactly what he means by hechshiro b'lechi, because, you know, if we're talking about a mavi mafulash, you need a lot more than just a lechi. Right, you'll need a tzuras pesach. You might need a delis. You may even need two delosos. You know, the whole 9 yards about a mavi mafulash. But one thing is clear: it's eino roy l'shituf. So a shituf mafulash is not going to be matir, but echshero b'lechi, whatever that means again. And they were misaken this mavui with a lechi. So now you're allowed to be metaltel inside this mavui. Is afal pisha dain she'eno roy l'shituf umirabonet osa l'taltel bekulo. In other words, it's still not roy l'shituf, right? It's hazorik l'tocho chayev. So on a doraisa level, we're talking about a Rishus HaYochit. Now, how does he get 4 Mechitzos over here? We're talking about a Movi Mefulash. He only has 2 Mechitzos plus a Lechi. Hazorik L'Tocho Chayov. I see. Now we're holding that a lechi is a mechitza. So he has 3 mechitzos. Now, wait, how does he get 3 mechitzos? Even if the lechi is a mechitza, but he needs 3 mechitzos without the lechi. So what does he mean, azorik l'socho chayov? Okay. So there's another footnote here that's important. He says, Ka'es, at this illogical step in the Gemara is rejecting what it said originally, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need 4 mechitzos in order to set up a Rishus HaYochid. Here, all he has at best is 3 mechitzos. And 3 mechitzos, apparently the Gemara holds, is enough to generate a Rishus HaYochid de'oraisa. So he has a Mavi Mefulash, which only has 2 Mechitzos, and he sets up a Lechi, and the Lechi is now considered like a 3rd Mechitza, and that makes the area into Rishus HaYochid, and therefore Zorik L'Socho Chayav. But Echshiro B'Kora is then Zorik L'Tocho Potur, meaning that Kora could not create a Mechitza. Kora is very nice as a Heker, but it doesn't create a mechitza, so he only has 2 mechitzos, and therefore zorik l'tocho pot. Alma, kasavar, we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that lechi mishum mechitza. That the lechi could serve as the 3rd mechitza. I don't know why the Gemara didn't also spell out that Rabbi Yehuda holds that 3 mechitzos enough to create a sayachid oraisa. Is therefore a movi mefulash, and he made a lechi berosho. That's considered Rishus HaYochid and Azorik L'Socho Chayev, but Korah Mishum Heker. Korah at the entranceway to the Mavui is only because it's Nikal Anoshim that this Mavui is Rishus HaYochid. They shouldn't come to the mistaken conclusion that if you're allowing Tiltul in a Mavui, you should be allowing Tiltul in Rishus HaRabin. And therefore the Korah is meaningful as far as a Heker is concerned, but it does not have the status of a Mechitza. And therefore in the case of a Mavi Mefulash, and you put up a Korah Barosho, you cannot consider it as a Rishus HaYochid, because it only has 2 plus Mechitzas, plus a Heker. 2 Mechitzas plus a Heker of a Korah. The Chenoma Rabba Lechi Mishum Mechitza, Vakora Mishum Heker. The Rava Amar Echad Zev Mishum Heker. And Rava denies this principle of Lechi Mishum Mechitza. And that's where we're going to stop for today. And in Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with the sheet of Rava that a lechi like a korah is not a mechitza, but rather it's only a hekel.